I want to take you on a little bit of a, hopefully an experience that will change your hearts. And I'd like to, first of all, before I give you the scripture, I'd like to remind you that the word Babel goes way back into Genesis. And the word Babylon really is the word confusion. So when you're talking about people being taken into Babylon or Babel, they are in confusion. Okay? How many have enjoyed the news in the past few months about how we're heading for a great big problem? How many have enjoyed it? How many have gotten depressed about what's going on because it brings all kinds of questions into your heart? Well, I could say to you, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And this is the Lord's Day. And I was in the Spirit. And when I came out, I heard Jeremiah 39. So I want you to go to Jeremiah 39. And I am using the Amplified because of the press was to go to the Amplified. Okay? So if you're reading into the NIV, it's very similar, but there might be a few extra words. Now, it's very specific. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of that month, they broke into the city. All right? When Jerusalem was taken, all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Please forgive me, I am not of their background, but I'll do my best with these names. Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, etc., chief of the eunuchs, and the chief of the magicians, with all the rest of the officers of the king of Babylon. And when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, through the gate, between the two walls, and the king went out towards the Arabah, the valley of the Jordan. But the Chaldean army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plain of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah, in the Syrian land of Hamath, where he pronounced sentence upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, and also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah, all the nobles of Judah. Say that with me. All the nobles of Judah. Why? Was it because all the nobility had gone sour? Absolutely. God would not bring judgment upon those that are not guilty. He's not that kind of God. Except for his firstborn son, when his choice was to lay all the sins of us on him, he allowed him to die. Verse 7, moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with shackles to take him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's houses and the houses of the people and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the chief executioner and captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the rest of the people who remained in the city and those who deserted to him, with the remainder of the so-called better class. The so-called better class is important. That's why I'm trying to tell you something. People who were left. But Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah some of the poor of the people who had nothing.
Are you hearing me?
They had nothing. Giving them vineyards and fields at the same time. How many have seen in the news some of these high-valued people going off into what? Confusion? Some of them, they're losing everything and they're going to jail. And where do you think their homes and all of their fields and all of their goods are going? They're going to go to the poor. Are you getting a picture of your future? Now, am I trying to get you rich? No. But I am trying to tell you that the poor will definitely be blessed. But those who think they've got everything and know everything and are defending themselves to the hilt will be judged. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, verse 11, gave command concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him well. Did you hear that? Jeremiah is a prophet. So what's coming up in the future? The prophets are going to be, well taken care of. Oh, isn't that cool? Try it on. Say the prophets and the prophetic people that are full of the Holy Ghost are going to be well cared for. Isn't that cool? Because you know our God is always the same. He never really changes his ways, does he? Okay. Do him no harm. Now, if you went back, you'd find out that Jeremiah was mistreated by the king of Judah. They put him in a prison situation. They put him at the bottom of the well. They did everything to him. Okay? Do him no harm, but deal with him as he may ask of you. As he may. How many of you had a few prophetic streaks? Put your hands up. A few prophetic streaks. So I'm going to have to learn to ask. And God will bless. It's up to me to open my mouth. If I don't open my mouth, I get what? God's word says if you don't ask, you don't get. Okay. Oh, I'm so humble, I can't ask. Well, tough cookies, go without. Sorry. Can't feel sorry for you. So, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, Nebushaban, that was easy, and the chief of the eunuchs, etc., chief of the magicians, and all the chief officials of the king of Babylon, sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the guards and entrusted him to a prominent man whose father had once saved the prophet's life. How do you like that amplification? A prominent man whose father had once saved the prophet's life. Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, that he should take him home with him to Mizpah. So Jeremiah was freed and dwelt among the people. So now he had freedom. He no longer was bound by the king of Judah. That's the king of praise. That means that there are some in the church who don't understand the prophetic. They are against the prophets. They are against the apostles. They are against the teachers of the Lord. They are against the evangelists. Why? Because they like their position of authority. And God is going to deal with that. That's what he's talking about in the scripture. Okay? Now, I'm not judging anybody. This is the word of the Lord. Okay? Now, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, verse 15, while he was still shut up in the courts of the guard, saying, go and say to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring to pass my word against this city of evil, not for good, and they shall be accomplished before you on that day. But I will deliver you, Ebed-Melech, on that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hands of men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be for a reward of battle to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. And when I read that, in the Amplified, it talks about this being a black man. And I was excited. I was excited because the Ethiopians were black. And right now, we have a black man sitting in the White House, don't we? And what does he need? Yeah. I believe he has a knowledge of God, and he may have a percentage of a relationship with Christ. But I believe also that the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going to take care of this kid. I'm going to take care of him, and I'm going to do something I've never done before. Holy Ghost, White House, wouldn't that be awesome? Can you imagine revival in downtown Washington? Yes! You know what? Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's not what you would like him to be, but you know what? The king of Judah wasn't so swift either, was he? What am I saying to you? Keep him in prayer. What am I saying? That God is going to deal with those who think they've got it all or had it all, and he's going to give to the poor what they deserve. Vineyards, homes, whatever they have a need of, they will be cared for and dealt with mercy and grace. Maybe you're in the midst of a lot of testing. Maybe you've been threatened that you're going to lose it all. But I guarantee you, if you are faithful, remember that verse 18, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. What? I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be for a reward of battle to you, because you have put your trust in me. Are you putting your trust in me? Let's confirm it. Take the hand of your neighbor. Say, Lord Jesus, by choice of my free will, all the hardships before me, all the tests that I see, all the garbage that's been going on, I know you can turn it into good, and I'm trusting you by choice. In Jesus' name, you will do abundantly more than I can ask or think. For those who have offended me and betrayed me, you're going to do a marvelous work, Lord. And I promise to give you the praise. Amen? And amen. So you can double check on that scripture. It might be a little bit different in the way that it's written for you. But the message is a very, very clear one. That which was supposedly meant for harm will turn into a mighty, miraculous experience. Look forward to 2009. Get excited about January. Get excited about February. And get excited about the test, because God is definitely turning things around.